If there's one thing everyone can agree on, it's that finances can be confusing, especially when you're trying to make sure your career, family life, and everything in between is taken care of. Trust me, I'm right there with you. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a budgeting newbie, or just someone looking to supercharge your financial future in about 15 minutes, this is for you. If you're ready to make your money work harder for you, and if you're ready to spark true financial independence, then you've come to the right place. I'm Teresa Arago, and this is Talking Sense. There are no shortage of opinions out there, especially when it comes to what you should do with your money. And on this week's Talking Sense, we're going to go through some of the worst financial advice we've found on the internet and everything you shouldn't do. So I know we've talked about, what is it, self-anointed, self-appointed gurus? Yes. Is that what you call them?
Yeah, I think that's something like that, yes.
And I think there is a lot of information out there. And sometimes the advice in and of itself isn't bad, but it may not apply to you. But these are genuinely bad pieces of advice that we have heard from TikTok and YouTube that we brought in today to talk through. And the first one I actually got sent this weekend from my brother. And the advice in and of itself can be good, but the way this person was selling it, I was a little concerned about. So what they were talking about was, if you own a business and your kids work for you, that you can pay them a salary up to the tax-free amount, whatever that is in the given year that you're in, and then help them start some retirement savings. And in theory, I think that's a great idea, because paying them a salary,
that's right,
lowers your book. I get all that. Here's where I got concerned, is he said, on paper, you can pay your kid XYZ dollars. And I went, wait, are you not really paying them?
It sounds like fraud to me, Teresa.
That's where I got concerned. So I was like, if you're going to say you're paying them to the IRS, then by golly, you better be paying
them. Better be paying them.
Because if you don't have a really good track record there, it's going to really, really hurt you. Now, I am all for giving your kids a leg up. I have business owners who we do simple IRAs for that have their kids on the payroll. They come in to do filing, things like that, and they are participating in the simple. I am all about doing that. However, make sure your ducks are in a row and that you can justify their pay. You can't just pay them an unrealistic, like you can't pay your four-year-old $10,000 a year, and that it's traceable. So, you know, TikTok, sorry guys, I don't fully agree with it, but I like the idea. So our next one, I'm gonna let you lead on that one.
Okay, max out your federal student loans. It's the cheapest money you'll ever borrow.
When I heard this, I thought there was one time, it's giving you palpitations.
It just makes my heart just.
The idea of just debt in general.
Yes.
For no good reason.
Yeah.
I mean, there were kids that got cars when I was in college with their student loan money. Can you imagine? Like, I mean, I get the concept. They were like, well, I'll pay three for this instead of seven at the dealer. But I was like, but it's still debt. And you didn't actually need a car.
Exactly.
Like, you didn't need that car.
You know, I can remember people taking more student loan than they actually needed to pay for their tuition and living expenses. Mm-hmm. And that was many years ago.
And it's still happening. I know medical students can take up to $50,000 per semester, I believe, or maybe it's a year. And many of them do it even if they don't need it, just because there's the what ifs. But if you say to yourself, I'm just going to borrow money because it's cheap, that is setting a really bad habit for the long term.
Anytime someone tells you to borrow as much money as possible, that's probably not the best idea.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you go to Walmart and you find something on clearance, that doesn't mean you have to buy it. You know, and my husband and I have joked with each other about this before, where we'll come home with something, we're like, but it was so cheap, but we still didn't need it. Yeah. And so anything that you don't need, don't spend money on it, and certainly don't go in debt for it.
Oh, no.
So do not max out your federal student loans, please.
I mean, why take on debt when you don't need it? That's just bad advice.
Bad habit to build.
And it also, just because it's cheap doesn't mean you need it either.
Right.
So yeah, we got to stay away from that student loan debt, because that's something that can hang around for many, many years.
And I think a lot of people are graduating with a lot of debt, not realizing that their career doesn't pay as much as they expected, and it takes them forever to pay it off. So please, please do not just get into debt unnecessarily. Here's one that I went, what? It says, savings doesn't matter when you're young, because the money you'll make when you're in your peak earning years will make the early savings irrelevant. And that's just not true.
No, you know, building those healthy habits when you're young translates to lifelong habits.
Yes. If you're spending every dollar you make when you're in your 20s, you're probably going to continue spending every dollar you make in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s, and then you're going to get blindsided with something when you have to retire and you don't have the funds to do it.
Exactly. And also, if you don't build that habit of savings when you're young, then you're probably going to develop the habit of taking out debt when you're young. Mm-hmm. And that will just continue on later in life.
There's this other thing we talk about a lot when we're educating clients. We call it the cow story, but it illustrates dollar cost averaging, which is the fancy jargon word for the benefit of continuing to contribute over time. So the market goes up, the market goes down, it does its thing. And if you continue to put in over a long period of time, that's how you win in the market volatility. So if you're not participating, then you're missing out on time to do that. And the longer you're in, the more likely you have positive returns. We've seen the research on that. So if you're just not participating and then you try to do like a full court press towards the end, you don't have the bandwidth to really use the market to your benefit.
Exactly. Teresa, when you say that most of our clients that come in, most of them have contributed to a 401k mm-hmm. throughout their whole career.
Yes.
Now, we do have some who come in later in life and do the full court press,
mm-hmm.
but it's still difficult for them to maintain their lifestyle.
Well, and I think about retirement. It like when I plan for the morning, for instance, at yes. home, you know, there's times where I tell myself, I'll just get gas in the morning. It's not that big a deal. And it always ends up being a big deal when I wait to the last yes. minute to do something. I joke that I'm like Murphy Law's poster child.
Yes.
You know, if I wait to the last second to do something, it's going to blow up in my face. I had times where like a paper wouldn't print all of a sudden, you know, things like yes. that in college.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we do that. And yeah, you may be able to figure it out, but why put yourself through the stress of it? Why not get a plan young,
mm-hmm.
maximize the opportunities you have so that you can just take a transition into retirement, not have to go running into it.
Yes.
So that's, you know, that's my view. I think a lot of people would benefit from not getting short-sighted.
Yes.
Maybe is the best way to put it.
Exactly. So the next one, take out $80,000 from your 401k to pay off your debt. Reason, why is this a bad idea?
So a lot of people think, well, I'm paying myself back. But what they don't realize is those dollars are not invested. You are paying an interest rate. There's a fee to do it in the first place that you just lose. But you are paying an interest rate, but it's not the same as what your returns on those dollars staying invested might have been. But the bigger kind of glaring red flag for me is if you want to change careers, which statistics yes. tell us a lot of people are doing, if you try to roll over that account to your new employer, that becomes a distribution. Typically, it's going to avoid the penalty piece, but you're still paying taxes as if you made that money. So if you added $80,000 to your income in a single year, that is impactful for taxes. And so I really discourage clients from doing that. There has been one time where I felt like it made sense. And this was in the case of someone who works for the VA
mm-hmm.
and they are a lifer there. They've been there for 15 years. They're still young. They're going to be there forever. And they had a major medical expense that was genuinely stressing them out. And I knew this person's never leaving that place. And I thought, you know what? It wasn't $80,000. First of all, it was a lot smaller amount. I thought, you know what? That situation, it's not highly impactful, but it's going to make a big difference for you. Let's just go ahead and consider it. But if you haven't developed healthy financial habits and you have $80,000 of debt, you're probably not just going to miraculously have them starting tomorrow.
No, healthy habits are built over time, mm-hmm. whether it's saving or getting into debt. Those habits build over time. So you've got to start them young, stay with it, and just don't do it.
And so as an alternative, I would encourage you to manage your debt by creating a plan and start paying towards it. Because again, if you don't have the surplus money now, then taking it out of the retirement fund is probably just going to clear the slate for you to rebuild it again.
Yes.
So do the hard work of paying it off over time. And I want to talk to you about, a lot of people don't realize that your 401k has a limit on how much you can pull from it and usually will not allow you to take another loan until you've paid off the first one. So again, if you're creating this habit of using that as like a piggy bank that you can dip into, you're really setting yourself up for failure in the long run instead of doing the hard work of making sure that you are staying within your means. And I do want to circle back because it's sticking in my brain. We were talking about the federal student loans thing because I don't think a lot of people realize this. It's different than it was when I was a kid. So when I was 18. When I was in college, you got one loan per school year. Okay. Nowadays, you get one per semester.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be multiple sources per semester. If you are taking out that maximum amount, it is really hard to lose track of where you're at. I think it's just like using credit cards. If you use them consistently, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, but just work with me here. If you're not really on top of the details in your life, it is very easy for something like that to get out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
And then you now owe interest on something beyond what you planned for because you forget to pay it.
Yeah, students can end up with 12, 15 different student loans from different providers.
Mm-hmm.
They move, they lose their addresses, their email.
Yes.
And these little time bombs just show up one day in their life.
And so that's where I was like, oh, it's just been stuck in my head. So I wanted to clarify that too. Like, debt in general can become varied and spread out if mm-hmm. you're not careful.
Yes.
And so I always encourage people to consolidate things, not necessarily student loans, but I mean, like, just keep it as small as you can. If you've got to get loans for schooling, by all means, if your career makes sense for that and you need the degree for it, I'm not saying you shouldn't get them. I'm just saying don't go into more debt than you have to. You know, Randy Kay works with us and she has been working through college and she has minimized that debt by just having a job.
Yes.
So she could pay some of those expenses and she's been paying towards her student loans through college so that when she gets out, she has less to pay off. So I'm sorry for kind of circling back there, but I wanted to make sure we talk through that piece of it too. Let's go back to the employer plan. Another thing that can be a challenge with that, and we had this happen here in Little Rock with the client that I have, they had their employer plan through one provider at Baptist, and then Baptist switched providers. They did not, during that like short window when you can just transfer things yes. over, they didn't do it then mm-hmm. because they were busy. Life yep. happens. And so now they have this loan that just exists and that is accruing a cost through interest that they can't pay back through their payroll because there's no mechanism to do that any mm-hmm. longer. They're no longer with that provider. They don't really have an easy mechanism to pay that loan off now. And it's just sitting there accruing. And that interest is cutting into their gains. And they have no control over that. Mm-hmm. So it's creating a lot of chaos for them. And thankfully, they're close to retirement. So we'll yeah. be able to do that rollover and it's going to be a distribution. It's going to be a taxable distribution yes. to them. But we're going to try to do it in pieces so that we can at least minimize the cost. So there's a lot of chaos that can come with that. That's why we don't encourage it. There's just so many things that can kind of blow up in your face there. Our next one I thought was interesting. It says never contribute to your retirement account because money now is always better than money later. That's like the bird in the hand is better than a bird in the bush, right? Oh,
yeah. You know, you can't retire on hope.
No. You well, know, not last time I checked.
Not if somebody knows how to do that, I wish mm-hmm. they'd come show us because we have some clients who probably could use some hope. But,
yes.
You know, employer match is free money now.
Mm-hmm.
Get it now.
That's it.
If you don't get it now, you can't get it later.
Yes. I think when people are thinking of the match, I think there's some miscommunication and this comes out of the fact that there's not somebody coaching people when yes. they get that. Usually you walk into your new job, they hand you a packet, they say, send it back next week. And that's all the coaching you get. I had someone come in the other day and they mentioned that they thought their employer match was 25% of whatever they put in up to a limit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's a really weird match for the employer they had. I've worked yes. with people from this employer before and I thought, man, that feels wrong. So I had them log in and we pulled up their summary plan document. They were mixing up the vesting schedule with the match. And so we educated them about how that works. So let's talk through that. The match that you get, there's a certain amount you have to put in to fully max that out. Okay. And sometimes the match is dollar for dollar. So like you put in a dollar, they put in a dollar. Sometimes it is less. Sometimes you're putting in six, they're putting in five. But you want to put in whatever maxes that out. But the vesting schedule, this is the one that people go, well, I can't take it all with me anyway, so why should I put in it all? Because yeah. I get to keep everything. The vesting schedule can take up to 5 years,
mm-hmm.
but every single year you're earning a little bit of the employer match.
Yes.
Not your dollars. Your dollars stay with you no matter what. When you move, you take those with you. It's the free money, which, by the way, some free money is better than no free money. So if you get 25% of the match, it's better than no match. If you get 50%, it's better than no match.
Exactly.
So it's still free money.
And if you stay there long enough through the vesting schedule, then all that free money is yours.
Yes. And I think a lot of people don't consider that impact when they're making a decision. You know, if you waited three more months to switch jobs and it got you a higher percentage, it might be worth it.
Yes.
So, you know, understand that vesting schedule, but really in general, short-term thinking is almost never in your best interest for any goal in life. So you've got to get past that. So Brian, I don't think I actually introduced you at the beginning, so I apologize for that. Brian is such a sweetheart for coming in, and I will warn you guys, like, he is, with very little notice, I'm always like, hey, we want to come do an episode? But you do so well.
Well, thank you.
It is time for our 2 cents, so I wanted to give you a chance to go first.
Sure. Be careful who you take financial advice from. We live in a world full of information, but without knowing if it applies to you mm-hmm. or not, it could be dangerous. It could mm-hmm. have lifelong implications on your financial well-being.
Yes, because there's such a drastic difference between certain investors. So if you're following somebody and you're going, oh, I'm going to do everything they do, well, they may be in a different life stage.
Yes.
So, and if you're listening to advice online, take a moment to put it through what I call the easy test. Does it feel way too easy? Because financial independence is not easy.
No.
It takes intentional decision-making. So chances are it's a fad or just not sound at all. Also, check the credentials of your source. There are some people who will say that a particular type of investment product is always bad. But if you dig deeper, you'll find it's because they can't sell it. So just be real careful of those self-appointed, self-anointed
yes.
gurus out there and make sure that you're getting advice that makes sense to you. And if you've heard some bad advice or some advice that you're wondering if it's bad, send us a note. You can send information to info@getreadyforthefuture.com. Send any of your questions there or post them in the comments below, and we'll be happy to answer it for you in the future. So thank you for joining us. If you like what you heard, subscribe and leave us a review, and come back next week for more content on helping you spark financial independence. Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. And if you like what you hear, make sure and subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes. The Jim Wolf team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or by calling our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Independent Advisor Alliance. Independent Advisor Alliance and Jim Wolf Financial Advisors are separate entities from LPL Financial.